Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
You ever think about quitting?
It's the combat of life, hammering the snot out of you.
Well, stand by, dig in deep, and get ready to get fired up with us.
Welcome to the Team Never Quit podcast, the number one podcast that inspires you to fight on. I'm your host, David Rutt Rutherford, here with Mr. Never Quit himself, Marcus Luttrell.
Our mission is to help you embrace the suck of life, to teach you the values of working your ass off, and to interview the most hard-charging people on planet Earth.
We know life is hard. It's time for you to suck it up, Buttercup, and let us teach you to persevere in every environment imaginable by sharing real-world lessons learned by those who never quit. That's right. It's time, Marcus, for us to help them defeat the negative insurgency in their lives.
You fire me up. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's roll.
Let's roll. All right, Marcus, right now, I want you to list off the top 10 greatest comedians of all time.
Off the top of my head?
Yeah,
Richard Pryor's got to be in there. Eddie.
Oh, absolutely.
Robin Williams, probably Dave Chappelle, Steve Martin, Bill Murray.
Sam Kinison.
Eddie Murphy, George Carlin.
Oh, man, yes. What's the dude we were talking about the other, Bernie Mac? Oh, God.
Kings of comedy, them guys.
Right, right. That, Martin Lawrence.
Blue collar comedy.
Right?
Those guys.
Oh, yeah. Stephen Wright.
Mr. Foxworthy.
Oh, God.
Robin Williams, man. Anybody say Robin Williams?
Yeah, he threw that out there. You said Steve Moore, right?
Yeah. Do you ever see that skit where Robin Williams took the paper clip and made a whole show out of it?
Out of a paperclip?
Yeah, a whole comedy routine. It's like I guess he was that good at
improv.
At his profession. Yeah, that he'd just hand him anything or say one word and he would just go off on it.
And he'd just unlock that brain of his, man. Well, I'll tell you what.
What's that improv show that...
What's Your Line?
Yeah.
Whose line is it? Yeah. Man, that's awesome, dude.
They're good.
Drew Carey hosts
that? Yeah, Drew Carey, that's right.
Man, he's awesome, dude. Wizard!
Jim Carrey.
What? Oh, God.
I mean, God, he defined our generation, didn't he?
He really
his
was unbelievable. Even now, we got Adam Sandler. I mean, he does a truckload, right?
All those guys. His Christmas tapes were great.
Back Louis C.K.
That toll booth with
Oh, my God.
I'm coming out of the booth. Her Lunch Lady Land, that song...
You know, I'm curious, dude. Wizard, you got a top ranking for us anywhere around there, dude?
Let's see.
This, give us something,
actually,
man.
You already hit most of these.
Gallagher.
Every one of these is different, but at least according to Time Out in New York here, top 10 include Eddie Murphy, Phyllis Diller, Steve Martin, Jerry Seinfeld, Louis C.K., George Carlin, one of my personal favorites, Richard Pryor, Robin Williams, Joan Rivers, and Chris Rock.
Ooh, it's Chris Rivers. Rock, dude. Rivers.
Carol Burnett.
Oh, I don't know if she did a lot of stand-up, though, did she? How come there aren't more women that do stand-up? That's what I... Oh, Bobcat Goldthwait.
Oh, there's plenty of women.
I think there's a lot of women.
There's a lot of women.
Are there? There's not a lot on these lists I'm looking at right now.
I'm seeing Amy Schumer, Kathy Griffin, Roseanne
Amy.
Barr.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah Silverman, like we said.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Ellen.
All right, Roseanne Barr. I got a top 10 right here with Roseanne.
Who runs around with Schumer? The real funny girl, man. She was in Ghostbusters.
Oh, the one who's on SNL. My pits. Who does her pits like this? Who does her pits thing?
Those girls are brilliant.
Oh, my God. Hilarious, dude.
Well, I'll tell you what. What I love so much about comedians, and first off, welcome to the TNQ podcast. I'm your host, David Rutt Rutherford, along with Mr. Never Quit himself, Marcus Luttrell, and the Wizard. Dird. Wizard.
Melissa McCarthy.
Pretty good.
Melissa.
Thank you.
Wait, Melissa McCarthy's good, or that my intro of the Wizard was good?
The intros are always good.
Yeah, okay, okay, thanks. About nice.
Are you talking about Molly Shannon?
Her, too.
Oh, God, she's hilarious.
Bridesmaids?
Oh, epic. Epic. Well, welcome to the TNQ podcast. If you're a first-time listener, have we got an awesome show in store for you. We've got the incredibly talented, the amazing, the transformational Brendan Schaub, right?
Transformational. That's a good way to put that.
He is the chameleon, dude. A man who is not limited by identity, right? Former collegiate Division I football player, had a trial with the NFL, became a top-ranked UFC fighter, now has one of the biggest podcasts in the world in The Fighter and the Kid and Below the Belt. He is a regular on Joe Rogan podcast.
He's hosting red carpet events.
The Oscars. Oh, I love it, man. The guy is versatile, right? When you think of versatility, Brendan Schaub is a guy. And you know what? I recently went and saw his stand-up comedian performance at the Comedy Store in West Palm. We went with Lex McMahon, who, by the way, is the guy who is Brennan's manager, is the guy that basically got us the interview with Brennan. So I want to throw a shout out to Lex, and also want to talk just for 2 seconds about Lex's charity that he is involved with called the A Hero Foundation. Please check them out online. Lex does amazing, incredible works through A Hero to raise money for veterans, to help veterans going through all the different challenges from transition to dealing with post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, you name it. That's A Hero. Lex McMahon, who runs Titan FC down in Florida. So we went and we saw Brendan, and you know, dude, I'm like, all right, you know, he's a podcaster. That's you know, you don't have to be a genius to be a podcaster.
Yes, you do.
Point in fact.
Yes, you do. In order to get your podcasting
present
license,
company included,
federal government requires you to obtain a genius
license to be a podcaster.
Yeah. You got our. That's why we're a team.
Yeah, yeah, right.
It's the collective.
Yeah, certainly not you and me, Mark.
It's a collective.
It's definitely not you and me, dude. Thank you.
Brain trust.
Oz Rab waiver.
This is the Houston Brain Trust right here.
We got a podcast waiver.
Yeah, podcast waiver.
They gave it to it because of Wizard. So I go. One out of three ain't bad at all. So I go and I'm expecting, right? The dude was hilarious, man. He was absolutely hilarious. He wove in the whole concept of being a fighter, traumatic brain injury, realizing he wasn't ever going to be that good, transitioning, becoming a con. And he was hilarious, dude. He was really freaking good. I was blown away. And when you look at it and you look at his show, this guy is selling out not only around the country, he's selling out around the world, dude. He went down to Australia recently, sold out everywhere he went. Yeah. I'm telling you, man, the guy is, I'm telling you, he is on fire right now.
Definitely,
and it's because
survivor,
he's talented.
Man.
He really is, isn't he?
I bet it's to the point to where when someone, I guess it was Joe, told him he would never be a champion or what.
Yeah.
I mean, in his head, the way he operates, you got to think it didn't set in like he would never be a champion. It's just the amount of time I have right now. I don't have enough time to become champion.
Right, right, right. In terms of how many more hits I have in the time it takes to become a champion again,
that's how he has things like that, right? I mean,
totally.
He's not going to come down on himself that hard.
Well, I can't wait to ask him, man. When you watch that video, I mean, there's segments, like they broke Joe's show down into a segment where it's just that moment, and someone even put background music to it. Someone even put background music to it. Dude, it's so awesome. You know, what I love, listen, if you're here listening to this show, man, you are going to have a ball. This is going to be a hilarious show. it's already, you know, standing up to be that way. Welcome aboard. Thank you so much. Without the listeners that we have, you know, we just wouldn't be able to do what we do. We appreciate you so much. If you're brand new, you want to know more about where, why we do this, what we're doing, please visit our website at tnqpodcast.com. We are so fired up to bring our first Team Never Quit podcast shirts, right? So if merch. You want to get them while they're hot, I know they're out there. You're going to love them. Be proud. We're wearing them all the time now. If you can't, just go to our website at tnqpodcast.com/merchandise. You'll see it on there, a button on there to go to our merch page. It'll drop you right in. Pick out your favorite shirt there, and we'll have more merch coming on here soon for you. We'll try and do
be cool instantly.
If they wear the shirt, they'll be cool.
It's guaranteed
coolness.
It comes with the guarantee of coolness.
Is that written on a tag, or is it just a verbal coolness thing?
I love the whole idea behind it, because I'm a t-shirt and jean guy anyway, so.
That's all, although when you go West Coast, West Coast, Texas, and you put the jacket on.
DJ.
All right. Also, if you want to contribute and become a part of our community, but part of TNQ community, go ahead and submit your greatest Never Quit story or stories on our webpage there. You can see a whole bunch of other ones to get an idea of what it is. If they're good, we'll read your story on the air. If they're insane, Marcus,
coming on.
You're going to come on. We're going to have you as a listener guest on the show. We finally convinced the wizard to get on Instagram.
No easy task.
It was not an easy task, considering.
Actually, somebody made up an account pretending to be him.
It's a fake. It's a total fake.
That's how you know you made it.
That's how you know you made it. Yeah. You got 500 fake accounts after you, dude. So just go to Instagram, search The Wizard TNQ. We also have a podcast Instagram page now at TNQ Podcast. You can follow me at Team Frog Logic. And of course, you can follow the lone survivor himself at Marcus Luttrell. All right, man, Wizard, I touched a little bit about on how impressive this cat is. Mm-hmm. Wizard, could you please run down his bio a little bit and tell the listeners what this guy's done?
Yeah, Brennan Schaub, originally from Aurora, Colorado, Big Brown. He's an American comedian, actor, television host, former collegiate football player, and mixed martial artist. The thing that is most, at least in my mind, impressive about him is the range, like we touched on before, and versatility of what is on his resume here. So starting out, we'll talk about football. He played at University of Colorado, 26 games there. And then afterwards, he was on the practice team for the Buffalo Bills, and then that kind of fizzled out. But he then like immediately moved into MMA. He starts training at high altitude mixed martial arts there back in Aurora and Gage Training Center. 2009, he gets picked up for the Ultimate Fighter TV show as part of Team Rashad, eventually making his way all the way to the heavyweights finale, where he lost by KO to Roy Nelson. But then his career picks up after that. Four fights in a row, he wins. He ends up finishing his professional career in 2015 with a 10-5 record. There's a whole part about how he ends up kind of getting out of MMA in a conversation with Joe Rogan, and there's an injury issue. Officially, he steps down, citing, you know, disagreement with UFC's Reebok sponsorship, injuries, and his already successful entertainment career outside of fighting. As far as entertainment goes, he has a very popular podcast along with comedian Ryan Callen called The Fighter and the Kid that they've been doing for quite a while now. They do a lot of comedy bits. Quite a bit of it centers around mixed martial arts. Also, you know, pop culture. He started his own podcast, which is now titled Below the Belt. He has a strong stand-up comedy routine, which he started in 2006 at the Comedy Store. Along with that, other personal appearances include 2017 at a Showtime MMA commentary related to the Mayweather-McGregor match. Even this year in 2018 for E! Entertainment News, he did a lot of co-hosting Hollywood award show commentary. So,
I'll tell you what, Wizard, that resume right there is unbelievable. I mean, when you can be that versatile and go from, you know, getting in the ring with my boy there, Andre Arlovski. And it's funny, I work with Andre now and as a mental coach, and I told him, hey, we're bringing Brennan on. And Andre's like, why you bring him on? And I said, Andre, dude, come on, buddy.
Andre's been around.
He's been, dude.
Remember when he was running that octagon?
Dude, for like 3 years, they didn't think he could be beaten, man. And we're on a 2-0 run right now, bud. We got our next fight coming up in here in June. It's going to be a good one. Anyways, my point is, Brennan is an amazing human being because he really has taken this opportunity to reinvent himself at every stage where he realized that he had maxed out on his performance capability, right? We all possess a certain threshold of performance that we are simply not going to go over, right? I realized it in football with me. I am not going to play Division I football. I think other people, you know, we hit those points where you just have to say, hey, I've maxed out, and be okay to pivot and find a new purpose in your life that you can truly explore a whole new capability within yourself. That is who Brennan is, man. That's why I love this guy so much. And he's a great commentator. I just cannot wait to get him on the show. Gents, what do you think? Should we get him on?
Sure.
Dun, 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 dun. Marcus, and I'm telling you, man, even with all the blasts, all the Carl Gustav rounds we fired, all the breaching charges, I'm telling you, he played football. He was in the UFC. I'm telling you, his brain, even though his brains have been scrambled more than ours, the dude is outright funny, bro. I went to a show, his show, his stand-up show recently.
Like funny how?
Yeah, like funny how? Funny?
Amuse you?
Like, am I a clown?
Funny to you? Like, funny?
Funny like a clown? Funny like a clown?
Dude, don't you think I always think about that with
funny?
Him? So we go, his buddy, his manager for a long time in the UFC, Lex McMahon, and that's the guy. Lex, I love you. Thank you so much for making this happen, brother. God bless you. Lex, we go to the show, and I tell you, I was blown away by his stand-up routine because it's not the, like, he didn't drill down on guys in the audience. Like, the guy before him went down and picked apart this one, you know, hippie dude in the front row, just totally him. But he was self-deprecating in a way that made the humor awesome. And then he involved in the crowd. It was one of the best shows I've ever seen, dude. And that's why I'm so freaking stoked to have him on. Brennan, you there, bud?
I'm here, man. That's a hell of an intro, man. I'll take that. I need to. Can you open up for me? You can open up for me on the road from now on,
dude.
Everybody
time
says that.
Yeah, it's like record that part of it, and it's your wake up tone.
I know, Jesus, man.
Yeah, intro, everybody.
Dude, I love. Man, I just love stories about guys that reinvent themselves, Brennan, and you're one of those people, and that's why you coming on the show is such an important part for our listeners to pay attention so they too can believe that it's possible, that your one identity is not a life sentence, so to speak, and that you can grow and develop and become something great over and over and over again, dude.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you three gentlemen know this better than anyone as well. You know, I think people want to paint you into a certain box. Oh, for a long time for me it was, oh, he's a football player or he's a UFC fighter. And then they want to paint you in that box. I never listened to that stuff. I never did. My journey was completely different than most people's. I don't know how you guys want to start this, but, you know, for me,
Wait, let me slow you. Like, let me stop you right now because before, because this is the meat and potatoes, but before we get in that, we got to do a little warm up. We got to do a little stretching out of your prefrontal cortex. We got to limber up the gray matter because at least Marcus and I are kind of knuckleheads. Wizard's pretty smart, but so we got to stretch out a little bit and we're going to throw the mad minute at you. Are you ready for the mad minute?
Bring it.
All right, Marcus, fire away.
Best martial arts movie from the 90s.
90s.
Yeah. From the 90s? God, the 90s sucked. Bloodsport
by far. I should have said best worst movie.
Bloodsport by far, but that was early. That was like late 80s. In the 90s? God, man, you guys are killing me. Best for Best 2, I guess? Oh, maybe I'm the 90s sucked.
Maybe I'll get my decades messed up.
I got you. Mortal Kombat. I like Mortal Kombat when they did the movie.
That's good.
All right, Wizard.
All right, would you rather get a full grill a la Lil Wayne or have fully tattooed eyebrows?
Oh, man.
What does that even mean?
I'll go with the grill. I'll go with the grill because at least it's a good investment. Gold's a good investment. That's a very pragmatic answer right there.
Oh, God. By the way, Brennan.
You think if you tattooed your eyelids, you'd sleep longer? Like a shade?
No, eyebrows. The dragon lady that works down at the nail parlor.
Dude, that's weird shit. That's just weird shit. All right, Marcus.
All right, what's your go-to chick flick?
Oh, dude. You guys, once this podcast is done, you guys are going to hate me. I love chick flicks. I watch Teen Mom to get away from my crazy, hectic life. I know all the characters. He's just not that into you. There's a ton of movies, man. Literally name any chick flick, I'm into it.
I love it.
Now, do you guys want me to get off the line now, or do you want to keep going?
That was perfect. All right. Here you go. If you could go back in history, right, and sit down with anybody throughout whenever, I mean, as far back as you want to go, just to sit down and have a conversation with about whatever, who would that person be?
Man, so this is a loaded question because a lot of people are like, "Oh, you wouldn't sit down with Gandhi, you wouldn't sit down with Einstein." And no, I'm not that type of dude. For me, and what I'm obsessed with, and what I'm passionate about is comedy. So what I would do is I would sit down with Jerry Seinfeld when he first moved to LA and was trying to figure things out, and he had this cockiness and this swagger that most comics don't have. And I would sit down and talk to him and figure out his moves and what motivates him and stuff like that before he makes it big. Because when people make it big, they change a little bit and their answers might change. But I'd do that because I like the way he grinds as a comic.
Dude, that's awesome. That's an awesome answer right there, man. That's a real answer. All right, Marcus, fire away.
Your favorite dive bar?
Favorite dive bar would be the Sink in Boulder, Colorado, where I went to college, University of Colorado.
Ooh, the Sink. All right. Cool. Wizard.
Give us a painful lesson you learned recently. I mean, something that you definitely learned the hard way.
God, recently?
Where you look back and went,
man, I get that all the time in comedy. I mean, you mean freaking on Friday night when it's the Laugh Factory? And you think you're, and people are like, dude, you're doing really well. I'm like, thanks, man. I'm selling out on the road, and I go to the Laugh Factory, and it's half full, and I follow Theo Vaughn and Santino and just these monsters, and you realize I have so much work to do. And my thing is, I get in my head, I'm like, because all the comics are like, dude, we're going to stay and watch you. I'm like, yo, fantastic.
Yeah,
like,
that's great.
And then I get done in my head, I'm thinking, oh, they're going to think he sucks. I shouldn't be doing this. I don't belong. And I get up there, and they were awesome, but you can get humbled in comedy, man. It's very similar to fighting. Think you're good at wrestling, and then you get a boxer who punches you in the face, you get humbled every day.
That's awesome. All right, Marcus, last question, fire away.
All right, favorite superhero, brother?
Favorite superhero ever? When I was a kid, I mean, you got to be pretty into comics. I was a big Lobo fan. I love Venom. So hopefully that Tom Hardy movie stands up to what it's actually about. I'll probably say Venom. I like Venom, Carnage, and Lobo.
That's awesome, man. I haven't heard Carnage's name in a while. Yeah, those are some great answers. All right, that is the Mad Minute. Thank you so much. We appreciate your honesty and answers. But let's get into the meat and potatoes of this thing. And Brennan, the reason why we wanted to have you on is because of all those things we talked about and because of what you've already alluded to and the pressures of being a stand-up comic, the challenges of being a fighter, the challenges of playing football at the collegiate level. Man, our listeners are here to hear you explain, to get into the real challenges that you faced throughout your life. So if you would, brother, could you please share your greatest never quit story or stories with our listeners?
Yeah, probably stories. And before I tell any story, let me just say this. Like, what my stories compared to what you guys do, and it always drives me nuts in the UFC when people go, it's war, I'm going to die in there. No, you're not. No, you're not. Relax. So before I say this, your guys' stories are the real ones. Mine's just, you know, it's about whatever. So I'll start with that. Never quit story, there's so many for me, man. I mean, I've had a bunch of different kind of career paths. And, you know, as a kid, I was obsessed with comedy as far as Jim Carrey and Saturday Night Live. And I'd always watch Saturday Night Live. And it was my dream to be on Saturday Night Live and be a comic. But
as a kid, that was your dream?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I was obsessed with Saturday Night Live. Yeah, that was my dream.
And Saturday Night Live was so good when we were kids. It was good.
Oh, dude, it was so good. It's still, see, people hate on it now, but still pretty damn good. There's some monsters on there. But back in the day, it was even bigger, you know? And
yep.
I wanted to be on that, but I was in Denver, Colorado. And I don't want to say it's a curse, but definitely it was different. Growing up in Denver, Colorado, and being bigger and faster than the rest of the kids in the neighborhood, my dad was like, for sure, grab a football. Fuck your jokes. Go grab a football and run over those kids. So that's kind of... I was like, all right, yeah, comedy, how would I even get started in that? How would I even, there's no path, but I was much bigger and faster and stronger than all the kids. And I grew up in a predominantly black neighborhood. So to be cool or the cool kid in the neighborhood, you have to be good at sports.
Right.
So I took that to another level. In elementary school, I'd wear my cleats. So, because I knew at recess, to get all the girls to show out, you know, I needed traction. So I'd walk through the school and they'd make fun of me wearing my cleats. But once recess came, I shit on all those kids. So it kind of paid off.
You wore your cleats to school. I love that, man.
Yeah. And the teachers were like, come on, man. And tell my parents not to wear them, but they couldn't do anything. But I was just ready for recess. But as far as never quit, you know, football was my dream, man. I put everything into it, and the NFL was the hopes, and I've had a bunch of moments. I don't know. I guess in high school, I was getting recruited as a junior to play Division I football. And that's kind of the start of it, right, to get to the NFL.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then the first play of my senior year, we played down in Florida, and I got hit in the ribs, and my ribs cracked and ran into my liver and lacerated my liver. So I missed my entire senior season. So I didn't get any... All the offers went off the table. I didn't get any more recruiting, nothing like that. And so that was kind of a big hit. And so my dream didn't end there, because I'm like, all right, well, there's a million stories of guys not getting recruited, walking on and making the team. But I didn't have any Division I offers, nothing. So I went to a smaller school, Whittier in California.
Yep.
And played 1 year there, did really well, got freshman of the year, and then transferred from there to a Division I program where I walked on. And, you just realize what kind of talent it takes to compete at that level. And I thought I had the talent, and it never clicked for me. I played a lot, but it never clicked as far as the NFL scouts approaching me and stuff like that. But I kept going at it. I thought, you know, if you build a wall, I can run through it. It really doesn't work that way. But my whole life, I've learned that if you work hard enough, you eventually make it. It doesn't really work that way,
no, man,
when it comes to professional sports and entertainment. It just doesn't. So it really bothered me that I realized I couldn't make it on my own. No matter how hard I tried, the NFL wasn't going to come calling.
When was it really clear for you? At what point? Was it your senior year? What did you go to the Columbine? When did you know, man, I don't know if I can make it in the NFL?
So it was never that I can't make it. I always thought I had the talent to make it, and that's what drove me. And I had a lot of friends who were in the NFL, and I realized how I stacked up against them. So, you know, the draft just happened, right?
Yeah.
In 2006, I thought there was a chance I might get drafted, at least get a call to be a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never been more brokenhearted. Even now, it's tough for me to watch the draft because I get negative feelings from it.
Yeah.
I remember watching the draft, and my friend got drafted, and I didn't. And, dude, that night I went home, and I was probably the lowest I've ever been, man. I didn't know what to do. And so I figured, oh, we'll figure it out, man. We'll figure it out. And I get a call from Buffalo like 2 weeks later, and they bring me up for tryouts. And I told my dad, I said, "Dad, this, I'm a free agent. It's going to be a long shot that I make it." And I go up there, and I've never trained so hard, you know, to prepare for just a tryout. Mm-hmm. And I go up there with training camp with the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, when you're a kid and you think the NFL's the chocolate factory and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, yep. You're going to take it. And you get there, it's almost like finding out how hot dogs are made. My heart was broken. I got there, and dude, they didn't know my name. The jersey wasn't the number I wanted. I got like one rep. The ball hit me off the fucking face. It was such a business. Oh. And so savage. It broke my heart, man. I remember getting on the plane, leaving from Buffalo and being like, "This is not good, man. This can't be it. There's no way this is how it ends for me," you know. So I didn't like dwell in that. I just moved on. I thought, I've always been into fighting. I've always watched, you know, the UFC. And I thought, I'm way more athletic than most of those heavyweights, so I could get good pretty fast.
Right.
So then I started training in jiu-jitsu and boxing. And then next thing I know, I was taking fights, and then the UFC called.
Brennan, did someone say to you, though, or was it your idea that, like, "Hey, dude, you're a great athlete, you've got great natural talent, man, you ought to, and you're competitive." That's what I see and what I hear from all the, you know, every interview you're in, all the different things I've watched about you. You're just naturally competitive. So was it that you wanted to keep the competitive spirit going, or was it that, "Hey man, I want to just try to be a professional athlete of some kind"?
I didn't want to be average. I think it's, even to this day, it's my biggest fear. I didn't want to be average. I didn't want to just go, "All right, you know what? This didn't work out. Let me go get a 9-to-5. Let me go, you know, sell insurance. Let me go." Not that anything's wrong with that, but I just didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I knew I just had to keep moving. I just knew, what am I going to do? Sit here and realize I didn't make the NFL and, you know, just, I have a college degree. I'm still athletic. What am I going to do? So, fighting, no one's ever been like, "Hey man, you should try this." I don't know. I've been a fan and I believe in myself more than anyone. So I was like, "You know what? I bet you could go far in that." And next thing I know, 3 years later, from the point of me going, "Man, I think you make it far in that," 3 years later, I'm an Ultimate Fighter.
Wow.
So it happened fast. It happened really, really fast.
I think I saw somewhere your father was involved to some degree in martial arts, right? Was he part of an influence in that?
No, my dad, when I told my dad and the rest of my family I wanted to fight in mixed martial arts in the UFC, they were not a fan of it. My dad's like, "You have a college degree. What are you doing? Those guys have been fighting for all their lives. It makes zero sense." And I did a Golden Gloves boxing tournament, the big, you know, like national tournaments, and it was in Colorado. And I told my dad, I said, come to that. If I lose, I'll go get a regular job. If I lose that tournament, I'll go get a regular job. And he came, and I ended up, it was a 2-day tournament. I ended up knocking out everyone winning the tournament. And I got back, and my dad goes, "Shit." My dad goes, "Shit, maybe you can do this." And then since then, he was pretty supportive.
After that.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
Was walking into the Ultimate Fighter compound, was it the same as walking up in the was it Buffalo that you went up to, or Denver?
For Buffalo. Football?
Buffalo?
At the Buffalo.
Completely different, because Buffalo, I literally, you know, they're like, "We're all set on slow white guys." I had a cappuccino in Buffalo and got back on the plane. That was a real NFL experience. Yeah, they're like, "We're set on white guys, sir. Yeah, we're good. Go back to Denver." In the Ultimate Fighter, I had confidence because I was 3-0. I had all knockouts, and I won Golden Gloves, and I knew I could do that. I knew if I just worked my ass off in that house, I could make a name for myself, a household name. So I want that so bad. So that was different because I came in with huge confidence. In the NFL, they took all my confidence. They stripped me of everything that I worked my entire life for. When I got there,
house, what was the environment like? When did you start saying, because there were some amazing fighters with you in that competition. I mean, really top guys in the heavyweight, and it's crazy. Like I've worked with a couple heavyweights over the last few years and mental coaching one, Stefan Struve. I work with Andre Arlovski now, and you know, I'm getting to know
love those guys.
the power that's behind great heavyweights and how devastating it is. So here you are, and you're surrounded by really talented mm-hmm. guys. What was going through your mind in all that?
I didn't have any other options. You know, I got there. There was no plan B for me. I was like, man, we're going to do this. This is it, man. You just got to do well on the show. So in that house, even though there was good guys in the house and ignorance is bliss, I wasn't as talented as a lot of those guys. But I knew if I just did my job, if I did well in that house for six freaking weeks and just focus, I'll be able to make a name for myself. So while everyone's freaking out, everyone's all stressed out, it was a job to me, man. This was it. 6 weeks to prove who I am. So I was super determined.
One of my favorite videos of you out there and my favorite stories about that is when Kimbo Slice passed and the commentary you gave about him. You know, there's a guy that has nothing to lose. Did you learn a lot from him about that whole mentality that there is no plan B in life?
Yep, from Kimbo, I learned. You know, I was young on Ultimate Fighter. I forget, 22 or 23, I forget. But not to judge a book by its cover, because I knew Kimbo from his street fighting videos, and I'm like, who is this guy? And good God, was I wrong, man. He was the nicest, most humble man I ever met. He was kind of he was my right-hand man in that house. I could go talk to him whenever I was stressed or if I needed to hear a funny story. He was the best, man. So I learned, you know, don't judge a book by its cover.
That's cool.
And that video of him and I think it's Michael Jai White on this, I don't know what movie they were on, but they were behind the scenes kind of on the set, and he was throwing those straight punches, showing the difference between throwing straight and back as opposed to coming outside with a hook. Have you seen that video? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dang, man. I'm sure you have.
Yeah,
that's
I have
a
seen
stupid
it.
Question,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Probably hadn't seen that, have you? Because you and Kimbo were buddies.
Yeah, no, I've seen it.
Dumbass.
I hear you, man.
Sorry.
Tough crowd.
It is. We're tough. We're real tough on ourselves on the show, man, because it's the whole SEAL thing, dude. You know, we don't have much margin of error. In fact, if I fuck up on the air, they shoot me with a pellet gun here. It's horrible.
Yeah. I love it, man.
All right, so you get into the UFC, you start going, you make all the way up, you're fighting the number three guy in the UFC. Tell us about mm-hmm. that whole moment, because I think, you know, that it's a very well-publicized moment for you. I think, you know, obviously a lot of people have seen the interview with you and Joe, and you know,
sure.
Can you explain that whole process and that never quit moment for you? Because in my mind, that really was a massive pivot point for you to jump into out of all the things you've done, which I believe is probably the most difficult, which is, you know, moving towards the entertainment world.
Correct. Yeah, I agree with you there. So going into that fight, I had, I was coming off a controversial loss to Andre Arlovski. Even Andre thought I won that fight, who yeah. I love Andre. So mm-hmm. I beat Mitrione, I get Arlovski, and then they give me Travis Brown. One thing you got to understand is through my entire career, I think I had the talent to be world champion, but I didn't have the right mindset. Not mm-hmm. that I wasn't the best competitor. It was that I wasn't mean enough. I was too concerned about everyone. I just didn't have that nasty streak in me. I just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized it after I fought Crow Cop, who was my hero, you know, as far as mixed martial arts. And I knocked him out, and I was so concerned about him. And we're in the back. I remember we're both sitting back, and we're both bloodied up, and it's not good, man. And it was a great fight, knockout of the night. And he looked at me, and he's in broken English. You know, he's Croatian.
Yep.
And I look at him, I go, dude, what are we doing? What are we doing, Crow Cop? And he just goes, this is life. I remember from that point on, like a little thing kind of clicked in my mind and went, not for me, it's not, man.
Nice.
There's no way this is it for me. There's no way, man. And from that point on, even though I was on a 4-fight win streak, I already started to step away from the game a little bit. Mentally.
Wow.
If I look back, I remember from that point on, I was like, well, we don't want to end like that. He's a legend. Look at him. Look mm-hmm. at him, man. That's the way his movie ends. There's no way I want that for myself. So when I fought Travis Brown, I was in the back in the locker room. I trained my ass out. I was trained. I was always prepared. That was never an issue. I loved the training camps. I always loved getting ready, getting in shape, and everything that went into it and the build up to the fight. I just didn't really enjoy fighting. I was just, I guess, good at it, but I didn't enjoy it. And I was in the back warming up, and I didn't want to do it, man. I just didn't want to do it anymore. And my coaches, wow. they could tell something was going on. They're like, what's wrong? And I've seen mental coaches, and I've done that stuff, and I know when I'm ready. I know when I'm passionate about something. Mm. And I just looked at my striking coach, Tony Jeffries. I went, man, I don't know. I don't feel like doing it. And he's like, oh, you're scared? And I'm always scared. I'm like, normal stuff. I'm just over wow. it, brother. And wow. he just went, all right, well, we got a job to do. I went, yep, we do. We definitely do. And I knew I had to still go out there, obviously.
Yeah.
And I went out there, and then, you know, it didn't go my way. You know, you're fighting a monster in Travis Brown. He's super talented. And, you know, I just thought it was over. You got to realize, though, too, while this career is going on, I've been doing the podcast with Brian Callen, the Fighting Kid, for 5 years.
Yep.
You know, so that podcast is gaining traction, and I'm getting paychecks for doing the podcast. And it's so weird the way things work out, whether you believe in, you know, higher being or whatever. But I got my paycheck from the UFC, a bonus in the mail, and then I got my check in the mail for my podcast. And the check for my podcast was higher than my UFC check.
Wow.
So I was kind of like, come on, man. Look at the signs here, for God's sakes. Wow. And so I just started slowly gravitating towards that side. And then obviously the conversation with Joe Rogan, that actually delayed my process of getting out.
Interesting.
Because the competitor in me, I was embarrassed.
Yeah,
embarrassed. That was not supposed to happen. That was not supposed to happen. When Joe did that, I was super embarrassed. And because we're close friends, I thought, all right, I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to cut to 205, and I'm going to fight again and win, and then I'll retire. So it delayed things. But probably 3 weeks into my cut down to 205, I just thought, I woke up one morning, I was like, what the fuck are you doing, man? What are you doing? This isn't you. And I just stopped doing it.
He presented that to you, he wasn't aware that you had already pretty much made the mental decision to start stepping away.
My close Joe and Brian, even though I wasn't saying out loud, they could tell by my actions and the way, and I didn't know this, they could tell by the way I was talking and the things I was doing that I was kind of one foot in, one foot out. Sure. The amount of work I was putting into the podcast and the live shows with Finding the Kid, they could tell things were going on.
Well, wow. Your friends know you better than anybody.
Correct.
Now, they'll say things to motivate you in any direction if they're your true friends, like Joe is. Well, he was kind of shooting you straight, just like you said, because he could see behind that curtain. And, you know, as guys, we get up every morning, your armor comes up with you. And if somebody challenges you in that regard, especially if you put the time in, that's...
Put that shield down. No, fuck yeah, you. I'm not putting it down.
Because I got a line like that too from the admiral. He's like, you just can't keep up anymore. You're doing more now than you did while you were in. I was like, what?
Wait, what?
What?
that's absolutely true though. Yeah, the same in our line of work. It can, you know, you lose that drive, intensity, focus, and it can actually get dangerous. It's just you're not going to perform
sure.
well. You can get yourself in seriously hurt.
Yeah, I kept pushing it too. Went back to Ramadi, right? And it cost me my career. If I'd have waited, I probably would have still been in. But since I didn't,
your body just gave up. Now, Brendan, you in your comedy show, and I know in other places, you really talk about, you know, brain injuries. And then I was joking about that earlier. But, you know, was that part of the decision? Or was it really just, you know, hey, I'm not passionate about this. I'm going to go back to this childhood dream to be a comedian.
To be honest, even though it's in my act, obviously brain trauma is what you sign up for. That, you know, that's like Michael Phelps getting mad that he gets wet when he swims.
Well, obviously when it's an infection.
It's not healthy for you. So I knew that. I just, I just had other options. I'm lucky where, you know, depends who you talk to, have other talents. So, my friends, you know, with Brian Callen, Joe Rogan, and Chris D'Elia, and Tom Segura, who are all some of the top comedians in the world, Bert Kreischer, are telling me, I can do this. And secretly, they didn't know that this has been a dream of mine since I was a child. So my thing is, and the best thing that happened to me is, I see all these old fighters, man. some of these guys are my friends. I'm around these guys all the time. I train with these guys, and there's nothing that is wrong with their lives. They're living great lives. I just don't want that for myself. Yeah. I just knew that's not for me, man. I don't want to end up like that. I'm not going to be training in a gym. I'm not going to be teaching kids jiu-jitsu. That's just not what I want to do. So I just didn't want my movie to end that way.
One of the great challenges I think that people face in their lives when they do have a competitive spirit or they have been conditioned for the never quit mindset to a certain degree is they don't want to quit. They want to perpetuate it and keep it going to say, oh, I can make it feel better. I can turn the corner somehow mentally. It's going to be reinvigorated in my soul to drive more, to achieve a higher level instead of going, man, it's run its course. It's time for me to change. And the fact that that's not exactly quitting, what you do are starting a whole nother trajectory in your life. Can you talk to that a little bit about how you've done that, and in particular doing that in the entertainment industry?
Yeah, but when you say people stick with it too long, or especially when it comes to fighting, I don't know about other careers or, you know, these other sports, but when it comes to fighting, a lot of these guys, they don't have other options. They don't believe in themselves, or they don't think they have other talents, which they do. They don't, you know, they think this is all I'm good at. This is the only way. Let's say they're making $100,000 per fight, win money, show money. So say they're making $200,000 a fight. For them, like, how else can I make that money? So that's why they stick around in it. But I think there's guys, that are showing people, like, man, you guys can do a lot of other stuff with the work ethic you have, the mindset you have. You don't have to stay and get punched in the face, man. Figure something out. Create your own business, whether it's merch, whatever it is. So,
but believe in that you can.
Yeah. Well, you have to. You know how much you have to believe in yourself to walk down there and fight another man. That's the purest form of combat, fist to fist.
I think it's believing in yourself that you can, but also not listen to everyone else who wanted to show. Well, you're a fighter, dude. So after this, why don't you go hold mitts for people or teach kids jiu-jitsu? It's like, hold on. No way, man.
Yeah,
There's no way with this work ethic. I'm sure I can figure things out. But this is where the other problem is, the culture of fighting from the managers and the agents, because, you know, it's nothing against Reebok and it's nothing against the UFC. It's just the business platform right now. But while you're fighting, you should have your own merch. You should be selling your own. You should be your own business. Mm-hmm. Why you let the UFC tell your story, sell your Reebok fight kit? Why you're not doing that all yourself and then making money off of it is insane. And why you don't have a podcast, your own YouTube channel, don't wait for them to give you a countdown show. Do your own shit, man.
Yes.
It's cheap to get those people to follow you around. Do your own stuff. Create your own brand while you can. And then you can capitalize on it afterwards. But the managers aren't doing that. The agents aren't doing that. The fighters are too concentrated on becoming world champions. So it's a vicious cycle, man.
I throw it at you. If you're not focusing completely on this fight, if you're doing other things, then I mean, there's a million different ways they can get in your head and try and convince you that you're doing something wrong.
Oh, man, it was a business that really was eye-opening for me getting into it on the fringe of that I've been in it. But it really is that sick cycle that just keeps you locked into one singular identity. Let's turn a little bit, because obviously if anybody who's ever been in front of an audience knows how terrifying that can be, much less having to make an audience laugh. You know, I mean, one of the, Marcus and I are both speakers. We do a truckload of events every year, but certainly know that the main point of my show does not have to be humor. When you have these influences, I mean, real titans in the thing coming to you and go, Brennan, you need to do this. Was it difficult for you to start working and start pushing yourself to practice and get good? Or was it just a natural progression to jump into it?
Yeah, it was very natural, because I knew I always wanted to do this. And I've watched so much stand-up and so much comedy. And then also, I was super fortunate, because Brian Callen, I kind of had my training wheels on, because Brian and I would do live versions of our podcast, The Fighter and the Kid. And we would... I told Brian when we were going to go on the road, I go, dude, I've seen live podcasts. They usually suck. They're super boring. I'd rather just listen to it. He goes, no. We're going to do performances, man. You're a performer. I was like, really? He's like, yes, just listen to me. So our first show was in Irvine or Ontario. I forget where, but it's like 600 people sold out. And I go, how are we going to do this? What do you want to do? And Brian goes, we're going to start the show. I just want you, you're a good storyteller. I want you to go out there and just do 10 minutes of a story. Just start with 10 minutes, man. And I went, oh, I can do that. He goes, yeah, you can do that all day. Go do that. So we started there. And then, you know, 20 shows later in Chicago at a big theater, our biggest theater we've ever done together.
Awesome.
I'm getting ready to go out. And I look at Brian. I go, dude, what do you think of my, what do you think of this story? And he goes, oh, you mean your stand-up? I go, no, my story. He goes, oh, Bubba, you're doing stand-up. I just didn't want to scare the shit out of you. You're doing stand-up. I went, and then it hit me a little in my mind. I go, oh, shit, he's right. He's right, man. I'm doing stand-up. And then I just looked at it different from there. And he's like, you can do this, man. So I had these training wheels on him. So my open mics were in front of tons of people, you know?
Yeah.
I got comfortable up there with Brian kind of, you know, edging me on and helping me out. And then we did a live Fighter and the Kid at the Comedy Store, the world famous comedy store here in
wow.
LA.
Mm-hmm.
And probably 4 weeks after that, I get a text from someone who's running the shows at the Comedy Store. And they go, hey, you want to do a set next Wednesday, a 6 or 8 minute set. And I go, oh, like the Fighter and the Kid, Brian can't do it. He's out of town. And they're like, no, you moron. Do you want to do stand up here next Wednesday? And I was like, oh shit. Yeah, I'd love to. And I was so excited, but I was like, I gotta come up with a set now. And so that was kind of how it started for me.
Wow. And you have literally sold out shows around the world. Is there a time now where you start feeling, wow, this could be my thing. This could be the thing where I become one of the top professionals in the world at this? Or is it, do you set a new standard? Does it, now do you then go into comedy movies or comedy this, or where is the top end for you?
Yeah, and I don't want this to come off as cocky, especially talking to you three monsters at all, or your listeners. I wouldn't have got into it if I didn't believe I could be one of the best.
Awesome.
And now, is that realistic? I'm not sure, man. I don't know. That's for other people to judge. But I know if I put the time in and if I do things right, I can definitely get damn close, man. I may not be the next Jerry Seinfeld. I may not be the Chris Rock. I'll definitely be the best Brendan I can be, and it seems to be working okay. But I would not go into it if I was just going to be mediocre or if I was just going to be average. That's the reason why I left the UFC. I went, all right, probably not going to be world champion. You make some money, be kind of famous, win one, lose two, win two, lose one. Is that what you want? Nope. So you're going to be average there, you know? So, you know, I like to think I can get pretty good at this.
Right.
Hey,
cool.
I have a question for you, but you made a comment earlier on that I'd like to kind of expand on because I'm curious about it. You said this, where people will build a wall and then like just break through it, blast through it technique. It doesn't really work in pro sports and entertainment. Can you expand on that a little bit? So what does work?
Yeah, because in like when I walked on at University of Colorado, I outworked everyone and I forced my way on the team where they're like, all right, you know what? This kid's relentless. Let's give him a shot. And then once you give me a shot, you give me an inch, I take a mile. That's all I need, man. Just give me a little bit of an inch. And then with the NFL, it's just, all right, you want to work all night? You want to outwork all these guys? These guys are much faster. They can jump much higher and catch. Football's better. So even though you're working, it's a business. It doesn't work that way. With entertainment, you know, you better be putting the work in because you don't know when your shot's going to come. That's not up to you. So you can work nonstop and say, oh, well, I'm going to get a special on Netflix. Yeah, when Netflix is ready, when they're ready, when they're ready. So
great point.
It's just, it's very strange, man. It's very, very strange where you got to put in the work, but you got to realize it's not going to go out on your timeline. Does that make sense?
Timing.
Where another thing that, like fighting wood. All right. I have a training camp for 12 weeks. I'm going to work harder than that guy. There's a good chance I'm going to win if I just work my ass off, fight smart. I'm in better shape than him. I'm going to win. You just got to put your head down and work.
Mm-hmm.
And entertainment, it's just different, man. It's just different. Professional sports, except for, well, fighting is a little different, but it's just a different animal.
Sure, I mean, it has an end game, end date, excuse me.
Correct. It's very black and white. It's very black and white.
Brennan, has there been a time recently, because I know with the Showtime show, with selling out all your comedy shows, is like when you go back to your house and you're sitting with your family, do you kind of look at yourself and you go, man, I'm doing this. I'm really doing this.
Not once. The answer is not once. I wish it's probably my biggest issue. If you ask any of my family or my friends, the only time I'm really present is when I'm with my son. And even then it's a challenge for me, but not once I've ever been like, man, we're really doing it, Brendan. You're doing it, man. Here we go. It's a problem for me. And I assume if I met with a therapist, they're like, dude, yes, stop and smell the roses. And it's a blessing and a curse because I'm never satisfied. Never, never satisfied. Because, all right, the Showtime show is a success. According to who? If you compare it to some other shows, probably not, man. You got a lot of work to do. With the Fire and the Kid, yeah, we're doing well, man, but we're not on Rogan's level, you know? And then with stand-up, you know, my heavyweight strap in the UFC or my kind of draft day is when I get a special on Netflix or Showtime. So until that happens, I got so much work to do, man. I really don't have time to go, oh, you made it.
Can you help people understand just the work that you're putting in to be a great comedian, to be a great host? Because I'll tell you one of the craziest things that blew me away about you, which really was exemplified the courage you have, was when I started seeing on the red carpet for E, man. That blew me away that you were willing to put yourself out and in that capacity with that other type of people, man. What goes into that evolution of you as a host and a comedian day in and day out?
Oh, man, that's a good question. No one's ever asked me that. you know, as far as stand-up goes, so, like, every morning I have my hour set, so I'll go over, you know, bits and pieces of it. But it's different because if I want to, you know, get faster, there's a certain, like you said, there's certain numerical value where you can calculate and get faster and run faster and do the work. With comedy, you know, you got to be inspired by things that can kind of change the story you're telling. So you have to experience stuff. So every morning if I go, oh, I'm going to write 10 jokes today, it doesn't really work that way. It really doesn't. The other night I woke up at like 3 a.m. and added some bit to, I had this Hulk Hogan bit and I thought, oh, this would be funny. For whatever reason, it just hit me at 3 a.m. because I was going over this, I have a bit on Hulk Hogan sex tape and I watched the Gawker video online. So it reminded me of some stuff and it just hit me. So it's very different. It's very different, but it's kind of all in the same ecosystem as far as they all feed each other. So off the Find the Kid, you know, Brian and I, we don't do any pre-rehearsal, we do nothing. We just sit down. I haven't seen him in a while. I'm like, what's up, dude? And it's off to the races. And awesome. I'll find some stuff in there that I can make comedy bits. I go, oh, that was a good premises. And then I'll go home, write it down, and find something off there. And then, you know, then that feeds the Showtime show because I'll be super passionate about some subject and, you know, Showtime will cover some of the same subjects. So I'll have some of the already key moments there. So that feeds that. And then with the E stuff, I don't know if you've ever seen Shark's Tale, but there's that great white who paints himself to look like a dolphin. Well, I look like a great white. I'm a fucking dolphin, man. I'm into fashion. I'm into Teen Mom.
Dolphin, man.
With E, that's me, man. I love that stuff. That's me.
Dude, your shoes, man, one of my favorite shit you post is all your different pairs of shoes. I swear to God, you're going to overtake Imelda DeMarcus one of these days, brother.
It's trouble, man. It's trouble. Yeah, when it comes to fashion, that girly stuff, and I worry about my weight and diets and stuff. Yeah, you guys are, like I said, you guys are so much tougher than me. I would be that little, I'm not a Navy SEAL. I'm the furthest thing from a Navy SEAL. I apologize.
No, but hey, all jokes aside, there's a theme running through this whole thing, and that you have a serious amount of courage to.
Yes.
And there's a self-confidence and there's a courage.
Yeah, confidence.
And every one of these new and very different, I mean, the skill set between being a fighter and being a comedian, those are two very disparate, you know, topics, right? But through all of this, you seem to have this, it's an unrelenting sense of, fuck it, I'll give it a try and see how it goes, or you just truly are confident enough in your skills. Where did this come from?
Like, yeah.
Can you look back and say this
great
is how
question.
It developed?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, I'm not sure. That's a great question. I'm not sure. My work ethic comes from my father. He's an absolute monster. You know, he started from nothing, and then, you know, he's self-made millionaire now. And just, you know, he was literally bankrupt when we were kids, and we did not grow up with a ton of money. And to see him just go in every day, day in, day out, and just grind, he kind of set that, you know, platform for me to mm-hmm. kind of show how to be, you know, kind of get your life together. And as far as, you know, jumping into, you know, from these different lanes, you know, my comedy tour is called Stay in Your Lane, just kind of making fun of all these different careers I've had. But right. when it, I had this conversation the other day with my buddy, Tony Jeffries, who owns a gym out here, and he's going in a meeting. He's telling me how smart these guys are. And Tony has his master's degree, not literally, but he has his master's degree in boxing. He was a Olympic bronze medalist. He was on the mm-hmm. national team, multi-time wow. world champion. Tony specialized in boxing and became very, very good in that language. So when Tony was going to this meeting, he goes, dude, they have these business degrees, they have this. I went, let me ask you something, Tony. When you were 7, if you would have focused on what they focused on, did you think you could accomplish what they did? He goes, yeah. I go, do you think they could accomplish what you did in boxing? He goes, I don't know. I went, they just decided to go down that road. So I'm never discouraged when I walk into a room or I walk into a comedy store or something like that, and the people are more experienced than me. They decided to start it earlier. I know if I started early, I'd probably be pretty damn good too. So that, I've always had that mentality. They just learned that language before me. I'll learn it. Just give me time.
I love that.
In each one of those career paths, you develop your, I say, a new person, right? A new. You don't have emotions, right? You're dealing with a completely different person.
Mindset, and, approach.
Right. Yeah. You can laugh at yourself. You can defend yourself. And you said, you know, and the confidence you have when you wear all that, when you're in the fashion and style, most guys are worried about what other guys are going to say about it. But if you got that, if you know you can handle yourself and words don't hurt, it's but
your sky's the limit.
There's a level of peace and kind of calm that comes with that.
Oh, I get roasted online, man. My Instagram is savage when I post things that I'm wearing, but yeah, I'm getting used to it.
All right. Before we wrap this up, you know, obviously our listeners are, you know, they come here because, man, they know they can get a fat dose of the never quit mindset. They can hear things that will inspire them as they're bombing in whatever, you know, presentation they're in, as, you know, when they're getting crushed, when they're getting knocked out in life, you know, they come here. What are some things, some key things, Brennan, that you could share that you hold true every day in your life that you could share with our listeners that they could, you know, take away from this show and implement so they can continue getting back in the fight?
I think whether it's, you know, whether they have to give a presentation or their job sucks, they want to change lanes or something like that. For me, it's always about being prepared. So by the time, so that set I told you I did, my first set ever at the Comedy Store, you know, I had whatever, 8 days to prepare that. I probably went over that set 500 times. Wow. I knew, all right, when I get up there, it's my first time doing it in front of a live crowd. The only way this doesn't go how it should go is if I mess it up, if I don't put in the time. So I'm never scared to attempt anything if you give me the right time to prepare. I mean, there's going to be some curveballs, you know, and that comes, you know, with the territory. But, you know, as far as guest speaking or, you know, changing lanes, something like that, you know, it just goes back to putting in the work. And that's where you get the confidence from. I know if I work hard enough, man, I'm putting my best foot forward. And that happens to be pretty damn good, I think. But that where I think people lack confidence or lack desire or motivation to do things when they know they're being lazy and not putting the work in, then that sinks in. That's when you see fighters, you know, and you work with fighters, you know, with their mental game. Yeah. If they're not putting the work in, their fears, yeah, man, you should be fucking scared. That guy's training his ass off, and he's pretty damn good at it. And you didn't put in the right work. So what do you think? How can you expect to win? So I took that and carried it over to everything.
That's awesome. Hard work ethic, man. It goes, it saves the day every time, doesn't it, Marcus?
Yeah, man, start with yourself. Get that confidence in yourself. We talk about that. The fear that comes along with most everything in life is just you hadn't been trained in it. It's the unknown, but it's also your body telling correct. You should probably look in that direction.
Correct. But the other thing is, it's who if you fail or you mess up, or let's say I've bombed many of times now, but let's say I bombed that first night, who gives a shit? What do you think? It's your own insecurities. You think you're waking up and CNN's going to roll on the screen? Brendan Schaub bombed his first set ever at, you know, the Comedy Store. In the grand scheme of things, no one cares. You care, but no one really cares. You just gotta keep going, man. It's not that hard.
Everybody goes through it. I doubt there's very a rare occasion where somebody just starts out and becomes a champion. Like the first time they try it, it doesn't happen.
No.
Everybody has their failures, just on TV or hadn't been recorded. And that's what makes us unique. That's what makes us human, right? And it's that ability to, it's not a setback or a wall. It's the test that's thrown itself in front of you and at that particular time. And if you get hit and go backwards, well, then you know you need to train a little bit harder. And then you go back at it. And when you bust through that one, you keep going, you're going to hit another wall. It's life, right? It's that cycle. The only way you know if you're having a good life is if you have some bad times to weigh it off of. We talk about that, man. And
correct.
It's just, that's the meaning, right? The meaning of life is that it has meaning, that you get your ass up every day and try something new. It adds flavor and it teaches you things about yourself that you didn't know. And when you drop yourself in those different environments with those type of individuals, good Lord, man, there's no telling what you're capable of.
Amen.
But you know what, the other thing is too, is if you try something new, you're going to find out if it's for you or not. And if it's not, it's all good, man. It's all good.
Yeah, who cares?
You try something and it's not, it doesn't, who cares? On to the next thing, man. All right, cool, man.
I love it. Well, Brendan, thank you so much for putting that out to our listeners. I know there's a tremendous lesson in that. But before you go, can you please tell our listeners where they can follow you, what you got coming up next, and just where they can pay attention?
Yeah, just Instagram, Twitter is just at Brendan Schaub. And then comedy-wise, I'm on tour right now. So June, I'm in Houston. I'm all over. So just at Brendan Schaub.
Dude, when are you in Houston in June?
I'll have to look. I think it's mid-late June. Are you guys out there?
Yeah, that's when we're coming out for the next recording session. So we'll come down and see the show, bro.
Hell yeah.
And maybe you come out to the ranch and hang out a little bit.
Oh, yeah, man. Put you behind a rifle. Some hunting.
Okay. If you guys want to just see me just absolutely be terrified, put me behind a gun. Let me know. Like that.
We had Aubrey come out when he was on the show. He actually drove over from Austin and came out. We went out and we were shooting all kinds of stuff out by the and of course Aubrey comes out and he's got the, you know, a blue 45 and a red 40. He looks all slick and cool.
The man's got style.
So awesome, man. All right. So that's a given, man. If you're out around the same time, we're gonna get you out here, brother. All right.
Love it, man. I'd love to do that.
Awesome. Ooh. Well, thank you so much, Brendan.
Yeah,
you've been. We wish you all the best. We pray for your success. We'll be rooting for you in everything you do, and just keep making people laugh, brother. God bless you.
Thanks, fellas. Thanks for having me on, man.
You got it.
Good talk.
Take care, fellas.
I love it. Ooh. I love it. Hey, and one thing, Brendan, we call that the wizard because he's still so we don't use his real name.
Gotcha. Wizard it is. Wizard it is.
Thank you.
If I make any mistakes, I might give out your address and your full name so you can edit that. Be ready for that, bud.
Yeah,
you got this. ISIS isn't in America. You guys got this.
No. We don't have to worry
not
about
at
it.
All.
Well, you know... Like did you ever get to know Tim Kennedy? Were you guys friends at all?
Yeah, I love Tim. Yeah, love Tim. One of my favorite people on earth.
So you know Tim has a full blown like hit on him by ISIS.
Oh, I know. I know. That guy freaks me out, man. You guys are so much tougher than me. Tim tells me like some of his stories. I don't know if we're recording, but I'll tell you last time I did a podcast with Tim. He told me about this story, and I loved him, man. I absolutely loved that dude. And we got done, and you guys are going to make fun of me. I don't know what was going on, but we were headed to a party, and I could not stop crying, man. I don't know what the hell happened. I was thinking of Tim going on this mission and getting hurt and his kid and his wife. And, dude, I'm in the car with Brian Callen, my partner, the comedian, and I literally could not stop crying. And we get to this party at RB Marcus's house. And I go, dude, I'm just going to stay in the car, gather my thoughts. Don't tell anyone I'm in the car crying. He goes, dude. he goes, dude, never. I got you, man. Take as much time as you need. I'll see you in there. Yeah. So I go in there, and you know when you're crying, like your nose is all red, and your eyes are all red? Yep. I go in, Brian goes, there's the crybaby. I'm like, oh, come on, man. Everyone's just like, Jesus Christ, man.
And then
he told everyone.
And then Aubrey comes up and gives you a big hug and is like, dude, it's totally cool.
Yeah, he's like, it's like rubbing my back. And then he's rubbing my back and I felt super awkward. And I'm like, man, I don't know what's going to go on tonight. And then they're having like a pool party and there's like a big sand pit. And Callan kept making fun of me. And finally, I was like, fuck this. I went, hey, we're in just board shorts, me and Callan, and there's like, everyone's having fun, and I get all serious with Brian, because he kept talking shit to me. I go, if you take me down right now, I have $5,000 in my bag. I will give you cash if you can take me down. Just a single takedown, $5,000 cash. And he's dead serious, and everyone's like gathered around. it sucks all the life out of the party, like fucks up the whole party. Callan shoots in on me. I sprawl on him so hard, I fuck up his eye, his face. Everyone realizes he's every bit of 50. I used to fight in the UFC and be ranked in the top 10. I look like such an ass. And it's the worst. You know what? Now that I'm saying it out loud, that was the worst day of my life. That was the worst day of my life. Yeah. That was terrible.
Dude, I love the fact that my favorite thing that he did with you recently was when he talked about your mom. Dating your mom.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God, dude. He deserves to get sprawled on a regular basis.
He was just in Denver, and I texted my mom, well, did you go to Brian Callen's show? She's like, I sure did. I'm like, did you take your ass home after that? She's like, we sure did. And then Brian sent me a video of him and my mom hanging out. I don't know what's going on, man.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't know, man.
Oh, all right. Real quick lowdown. I'm sure we're going to wrap that in somewhere, somehow, but I'm going to come out. Marcus, seriously, when you hear that dude talk about reinventing himself, not once, not twice, but three times, man. Yeah, that's impressive stuff.
Oh, he's a prime example of somebody who believes in himself.
Right? That's the key. His self-confidence is through the roof. He really, truly believes that he can do anything he sets his mind to.
Sure.
Obviously.
Now,
and does it.
Right.
And does it well.
I mean, being a pro football player is almost impossible, the percentages. And then shifting over and being a fighter, a prize fighter in the UFC, when he did, again, and comedy, they say it's one of the hardest things to do, isn't it?
By far, the hardest thing in entertainment is stand-up comedy. They've said that since the beginning. Live audience, because what your set does in California is not what's going to resonate in Wichita, Kansas, right? Right. Yeah,
you got to carry the whole show. You
right.
Know, there's no one else supporting you.
No.
If you're just off, I suppose it could be just a complete disaster.
Yeah. If you can laugh at yourself and your mistakes and mishaps, man, that's comedy gold.
Let me ask you, in your speeches, are you self-deprecating a little bit?
I heard it's kind of disgusting how self-deprecating I am. I laugh at myself more than anything.
Right.
I tell people now that I was small. When I graduated high school, I was 5'6", 154 pounds. I'm scared of heights. I'm like cold water. I'm like high school yearbook, right? That's what's going to happen. You'll be eaten by a shark. That's my biggest fear. High school is print right there.
STV, you made it.
I'm more of a frogman than I am a seal.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of that. I love being a frogman. And I just had to laugh at myself because all the guys around us, man, they're just so much better than me. Like I said, I didn't have any special skills. What I am is what I was taught.
Yeah.
You know, it's what you guys came up with, and I just learned it. I'm just like, kind of like Brandon, man. I just have to do it over and over and over again, man. But when you have the guys around us like we do, man, those guys are picking up so quick. And because of our mentality and the way we push each other, you learn by doing. I mean, I tell people now, what's the biggest thing about why we're so proficient with our weapon systems? Safety. I mean, they don't even let us fire around until we've been in that house dry firing that thing 9 million times.
Totally.
The difference in our community and everybody else is how they train us. First, they beat us down. They take everything away from us, exhaust us, and then they start training us. That way, it's muscle memory. You just go ahead and get that. It eliminates time, right? It eliminates the time you have to put into something because you've exhausted yourself and started from there. So, and once that's ingrained inside of you, then you know what you're capable of. Your body knows it. Your mind knows it. You don't have to tell yourself. That's why we never tell ourselves what we are. It has to be there.
Yep.
And the magnitude that Brennan does, man, from a hard that is to be a football player and then a fighter, man.
And then a comedian. What resonated most with me and hopefully with our listeners is, you know, he had reached these performance thresholds, right? You know, as an athlete, same thing for me. I got to Penn State. I played lacrosse. I realized I wasn't going to be able to walk on a team because the starting quarterback was the number one recruited quarterback in the country. I could never outplay him. I also realized I could never outplay the guys that have been playing lacrosse since they were 5 years old. So I hit that threshold. I joined the teams. I realized that, you know what? I hit a threshold in the teams. I was never going to be the greatest of the team guys out there. So I hit that. And now, you know, I'm in this trajectory as a speaker, as there's always going to be a better speaker. There's always a better podcast, but it's the self-confidence in myself to keep at it and keep improving. That really resonated. And I'm hoping it resonated with our listeners, right? To keep going. If you're involved in something, it's not working, don't be afraid to stop and go and try something new, a new passion, a new purpose.
Right. But remember, don't switch too fast. Don't do so many that you don't even have time to
really settle in and discover. Right. Yeah, it takes time. You got to put in the time.
And regardless, it's going to come at you two ways when you first start out something. It's either going to be, you're going to get good and it's going to be fun and proficient. It's not going to be hiccups. And then you'll hit those, or they're going to hit you in the beginning.
Yeah.
If they hit you in the beginning, just know what's on the other side, the good part of it. Either way it happens, you're going to have to hit both of them.
Amen.
That's part of it. You should expect that and be happy when it shows up because you know you're making progress. Even if you're getting hit, it is progress. You have to hit that point. A lot of people think
the truth, right?
A lot of people think jumping into something that it's going to be just like you see it on TV. And what we see on TV that's the end game, right? I mean, how much damn work they had to put in to get there?
The blood, the sweat, the tears, the pain that we always hear about is there. Well, man, I tell you what, Wizard, I loved having him on. I'm a big fan of his. I love the Fighter and the Kid podcast. I love his show. I love his comedy routine. I think he represents such a wonderful example that if you do have that self-confidence in yourself and you are willing to take risks and try new things, you can discover a whole new way of living.
I mean, we're already talking about this, but when he distilled it down into just kind of this awareness that when you step into a new world or pursuit, and they've been there for a while, you can't look at them by comparison and say, well, they're a superior human being to me. They have more time in that game.
Time in.
And that's, you know, that's what he said. He was like, he recognized that. He also recognized his potential, and he said, I just need to put in the work, and I can get there. So I like when he distilled it down into that.
Me too. Me too. Well, listen, if this is your first time listening to the Team Never Quit podcast, we appreciate you being here. We really do for round one. We ask you to put a little time in with us to stay on board so you can start hearing the incredible amount of wonderful Never Quit stories that our guests are bringing. So that way, as you start down your pathway to perfection, your pathway to becoming the best version of yourself and whatever your purpose is in life, that you too can develop that great self-confidence, that Never Quit mindset, and to find something that you really, really are good at. If you're back again, man, yeah, right, Marcus?
Thanks.
Can you believe how many people are listening and coming back for more?
That's awesome. Thank you for that.
Every time, I'm just telling you, it blows the three of us away that we have dedicated fans out there, such dedicated teammates, and man, it means the world to us.
God, we just have great guests.
Yeah, yeah, you're probably you're right.
God, shut up. Let me hear this guy talk.
You're probably right. You're probably right. But we really appreciate you coming back. If you want to know more about us, or you want to buy some awesome TNQ podcast swag, we have got t-shirts on the website. We've got merch for you on the website. Just go visit us at tnqpodcast.com. That's tnqpodcast.com. Go get yourself some merch. Go get yourself a t-shirt. Wear it every day of the week. Wear it all around. Spread the word for us, because we really appreciate when our guests have such faith in us that they go out, they find somebody they care about in their lives, and they bring the show to them.
For sure.
To help their friends, the people they love most, discover some of that never quit mindset. They bring the show, and then that way, man, it's helping people around the world. All right. Also, oh, man, I almost forgot again. Brother, listen, we have the Wizard on Instagram now. So you got to follow the Instagram. Maybe one of these days. The challenge will be, will you be able to figure out his identity, who he is, where he is, the Wizard TAQ, and it'll pop right up. All right. Where can you find the show? You can find it on the website at tnqpodcast.com. You can download it right there. Obviously, on iTunes Podcast, go to the little search, type in Team Never or just Team. We pop right up. We're the first one there. Subscribe and listen to us around the clock if you want. And you can also find us on every other podcasting app for Android and all over all of the other ones. All right. Listener story. Here we go. This is from Trevor. Now, I've always struggled in sharing my story, not because of embarrassment or fear, mostly out of humility. I've never seen my accomplishments as being very impressive, just merely a part of living and enjoying life. Over time, however, people seem to be impressed by what I've done. I've also met some people that have the mindset, if you're sick or not healthy, you need to just accept the conditions as such. So I'm trying to share my story more to encourage others by showing them what is possible and prove the only limits we have are what we put on ourselves. In October 1997, I passed out at school. This event led to a lot of tests and possible issues. Finally, the doctors decided I needed a heart transplant. Without it, I was given just 2 years to live. At 9 years old in June of 1998, I received that life-saving transplant. While this event changed my life, I never let it stop me or limit what I thought I could do. I believe this mindset was encouraged by my doctors, having stated that the only thing I shouldn't do is dig ditches. But having worked some manual labor jobs, I believe even that statement was incorrect. Post-transplant, my family never limited me from doing things I wanted. This gave me the ability to never consider myself sick or unable to do something. A couple of weeks after having the transplant, I was riding roller coasters and other amusement rides. Growing up, I played hockey and was on the swim team in high school. As an adult, I ride motorcycles both on the street and on a racetrack, hike mountains, and even ride mountain bikes. In 2010, I became a volunteer firefighter. This was my first step in becoming one of the very few, about five, heart transplant patients to have become career firefighters. I accomplished my goal of becoming a career firefighter in January 2015. This was not an easy path, as I had two fire departments tell me that I could not do this job, but this pushed me to prove them wrong. After the first fire department told me it was impossible, this motivated me to work towards a goal I randomly set for myself when I was a teenager. This was to finish an Ironman triathlon. And in November 2013, I finished Ironman Arizona, becoming the third ever, the second American pediatric heart transplant to finish an Ironman. As my 20-year transplant anniversary approaches, My goal right now is to hike the 58 peaks in Colorado over 14,000 feet. I have currently hiked 10. While some of my goals have by chance been to prove people wrong, this was never my intention. I merely just wanted to be healthy, happy, live my life, and accomplish the goals I set out for myself. While I don't know what the future holds for me, I know that if I keep moving forward, I will continue to surprise myself by not setting limits on what is possible. Wow. Whole new heart, brother.
Yeah, that's awesome. That resonates here in this family, too, because of Haley.
Yeah.
She didn't have to have the transplant, but she has the defibrillators, and I guess there's three or four heart conditions. They don't even know how it hits kids, but when it does, man, it takes them down. I mean, she went in for a stomach ache, and was an hour and a half later, had her chest cracked open and in a coma for months on end. So
unbelievable.
Yeah, we'll definitely read that story to her, and she's doing great, man. She's in school, college, and she's just having a blast, and it's... That's the craziest thing about it, man. The stuff that we're born with, we have a problem with it. We have somebody else that's put inside of us, man. You just go, go, go.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? It's like, give it a second.
It's a second chance at life.
Right.
With someone else's heart, man.
Right.
I mean, I always go back when I hear about transplant stories, I go back to Justin Legg, man, our brother. Right?
Sure.
Well, it's, again, too, man, and it's, I'm not going to let you down because you gave me this chance. I'm going to show you how much I appreciate it. I mean, that's a way of living that you'll never stop, right? They keep going. I live it every day, man. 19 promises. Get up every single day, man. 19 promises just to make sure you live it out to the fullest. That's what they'd want you to do. So that's amazing, brother. Good job. Way to push yourself. I'm definitely going to pass that story on to the family.
Amen. Well, I just want to finish this show by thanking Brendan. Brendan, thank you so much for coming on. You're a true inspiration to athletes and fighters around there. You're just a great example of what's possible. I want to thank Trevor for writing in, man. God bless you. I wish you all the best in your future and living life to the fullest. I want to thank the listeners, man. Man, the listeners are incredible. Without you guys, we would not be able to continue doing what we're doing because you're proving to us that what the information, the positivity that we're bringing to the world is making an impact, and thank you. I also want to thank Christ and thank God for the influence on me to be a good father, a good friend, a good son, a good everything. It's just, you're my life. Thank my girls. Thank the sunshine. I want to thank you two. Thank you so much, gents, for being here with me in this and living out this dream and this new career that makes me every day feel like I'm making a real impact in this life. So thank you, boys.
Right back at you, bud.
Every person we have on here teaches me something about myself I didn't know.
Cool.
That's the greatest part about this, man, is when you start afterwards, when you think about it and kind of put yourself in their reality to see how you would exist, and always taking something. And with him, our lives are pretty similar, except I was never good enough to be a football player. So, Brent, thanks for letting me know what that would be like if I was relevant enough to get in there, and for coming on and teaching us a little something about ourselves we didn't already know, and for everybody who keeps coming back and giving us the opportunity to do that, man. I don't have the vocabulary to express my gratitude and just the life you guys have granted me with. It's jaw-dropping every day, 10 times a day. So thank you for that. I'm out.
Out.
Never quit. Team never quit.